Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Monday evening. Seven is the number of completion and perfection according to the Bible, so you are tuned into the final teaching from the Loving God series. God wants to be a husband to you, and earthly marriage is a revelation of our relationship with God. Everything you love in real life is a direct reflection of your relationship with God. These are some of the powerful truths and great mysteries you will learn in this awe-filled message. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you the difference between those who love the Lord and those who do not. The Lord manifests himself to those who love him, so if you love the Lord, expect all these powerful blessings. Hear the word today.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. I want us to lift our hands and just thank God for this amazing Sunday morning. Thank God for his power that is at work. God is with us. God is hearing your prayer.
Yes.
God is listening to you.
Mobere ke soba.
Kandola mashanda la baba.
Ramba dore ke sete ke bora la baba.
Haromanda la baba.
Rama do bere de riza.
Thank you for your goodness.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord. Ramando
rebe ke shonda baba.
Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you for your kindness. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Talo mandele de kosanda la baba. Livra dia soke para da visora da baba.
We give you praise, Lord.
We give you praise, Lord. Thanks. Yes, Lord.
We give you thanks, Lord.
Mando vala kize bere
de bebe. We're excited to
be yes, here. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for answering our prayer.
Yes.
Thank you for answering our prayer.
Mando reke sevo bara da baba.
Thank you for answering our prayer.
Mando re deve merediaso.
Mando kabala.
Reke toro bobo sanda la la baba.
Handola morida la
mandi ko zabara da baba 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 yero de veke su ka
lift your hand in your house every
yes.
Standing
yes
thank God
rande belele bebe
mana kabalando la
baba mada la baba baba
mandali ba shandali mondele
mandore de veke sunda baba
in the name of Jesus
mora na
in the name of Jesus
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 amen
amen.
I want us to pray in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray that all through 2020 you'll be like a tree
yes.
that is planted by rivers
yes.
of water.
Yes.
And your spiritual growth will never cease
yes.
or never diminish
in the name
all
of Jesus,
through your life.
All through my life.
You are like a
all
tree planted by rivers yes. of water.
Yes.
Pandola kabarandali mamandala. La roda ashedele manda.
Remedele bezo
bakolole bede.
Jofa kiere mosa.
Le
mantere de boko sandala la la baba.
La ramanda.
Oh yes. Thank you Lord. Madore nevesu kabaradaba yandololo bobo. Jofe de kesia kota la 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 mama.
Thank you, Father, for
thank
your blessing.
Thank you, Father, for your blessing.
That you give to us.
Ramode
in the name of Jesus.
Zore de Beliande. Yes.
Makaso talamanda.
Zore de Befere de Biazora
Daba. Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you for your goodness. Your kindness.
That is working in our
favor.
In the
name of Jesus.
Matakaba.
Ramasoke de Belita.
Trees,
yes.
Planted by the rivers of water.
Sandala la 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 ba.
Bakamalanda bolani ma.
Remando lo boko shandele le le bele bele.
Aramandala ba.
Aramandala la la ba.
Aramandala ba da.
Rode veke suaketa.
Alaramanda li.
Yes Lord, yes Lord, yes Lord.
Malandali.
Remando le le boko sandala la 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 ba la ba la ba la ba la ba ba.
Alaramanda.
Movara ki se pere le bele bele. Jobra dia vobeke sandala la ba ba. Me veke suka para radieto zamande. Jorana mandali andala baba. Thank you, Lord. Malo bende kese dala baba. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, Ramadala bazumele kese bebe.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, yes.
Andola mandala
vido kese bebe. Sabara dada baba baba baba.
Endola modori dede.
Jore ne me via dos.
Endola modi kebe dede.
Rada kiso bere lebe mele lele lebe.
Endola mondo bolori dede.
Jore ne me via kosanda dala baba.
Endola mandala mandala vido
kese bebe. Ekiete boko bara dada 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 baba.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Endola mashanda,
mambele lebele 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 lebele
lebele lebele lebele
lebele lebele lebele lebele lebele lebele.
Amen.
Amen.
I want us to pray that no matter how old you become in the church, you will always have a certain zeal for prayer. Amen.
Amen.
In your life. Lift your hand and pray for
Jesus.
Special zeal for prayer.
Thank you for the special zeal for
freshness
prayer.
And
freshness
zeal
and zeal
for prayer
oh,
in
yes.
your life.
Yes.
No matter how old you
yes.
become.
Yes.
You go.
Yes.
Where you go.
Yes.
What you do.
Yes.
There will be a special
yes.
freshness
yes.
and zeal
yes. more than a master
from the Lord.
Oh, thank you for this special zeal for prayer. Even when we are old,
Mando sambara kavare ke sure nelebe.
Jore nema,
jore
niako talababa. Lebazo la
mani,
rekete ke zobara daraba fio
nelebe.
Zote ke zobara daraba marane liyato somere nelebe ba. Le mandali andele nelebe. We pray for this grace, Lord. We pray for this zeal, Lord. Mando redeve musali andele nelebe. Teza babo barara baba. Shgo festele liyamo nakotebe nelebe.
In the name of Jesus.
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 Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Wow. All right. I don't know what that means. But verse 37 says, she was a widow of about 84 years. That means she was 84 years old.
Wow.
And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers.
Hallelujah.
Night and day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
This woman's prayer zeal couldn't go down as she was getting older. There was a freshness and a zeal for prayer and for fastings. And that's how she served God. So we are praying now. Everyone praying. This is just a short prayer time. This is not a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting on Tuesday and on Friday. But this is not a prayer meeting. I need you to lift your hand and pray.
Jesus.
For the zeal.
The fresh zeal. Yes.
You pray like never before.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Prayer zeal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Prayer zeal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Malagada.
Oh, yes.
Keloran mandala.
Retevo zabara di esundaba.
Lele mandale bandele.
Teg laboro nene nene nene. Kisala lababore nene diese.
Pare amanda.
Talamono kusabara da biyande lele lebobo. Thank you for this prayer zeal, Lord. We so far di eco sanda la 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 mama. Jo creste fere ni mi adore ni mi ade. Mando zanda la la baba. Die viesto ka. Zore de ke shuka tarara la
baba. Yes. Of Anna.
Yes. The zeal of Anna. Mando roro bobere de bebe.
Prophetess.
Yes, Lord.
Of great age.
Ye re de bo sanda ba.
never reducing in zeal for prayers and for fasting.
Redemo mazone lelelelelelebebe Joria na 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 mama Madore de bezumara radiate Kira rara rara baba dolololo momo Jore ne 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 momo Mando zambra di esonda la 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 baba Jesus Mora makasia vere de 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 momo dolololo momo Menta la bambino kosande lelelelelelebebe Rama mama 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 Zora na mama mama mama
That your zeal for prayer throughout the year 2020
will
be maintained at a high level.
It'll
be like Anna. Now lift your hand and thank God for a new day.
Thank you for a new day.
A blessing. Mandakido la
mashanda la baba.
Thank God for the blessing of this.
We thank you for this
Sunday.
Amazing Sunday service. Oh yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for this
amazing Sunday service.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
We give you praise. Dear Lord.
Yes.
Dear Lord, we thank you. Mando kabara mandala for this amazing service in your presence. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today, I want to share with you the last segment of If You Love the Lord. Amen. Number one, if you love the Lord, God will do the unheard of things for you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Amen. So when you love God, the unbelievable and unheard of things that have never entered the heart of anybody will be done for you. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, if you love the Lord, God will cause all things to work together for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all things don't usually work together for good. Many things work together for bad. Many things are not good. No matter how you look at it, it's not a good thing. And no matter how you try to reason it out, it's not good. But the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you think that all things work together for good naturally or normally, then you are new in life. There are many things that are not good. And you may try to re-describe them, rename them, give them other nice names, or kindly describe or give a reason for what it is and say something nice about it and all that. But it's a bad thing. And it is heading towards a bad outcome. That's the reality of many things in our lives. And so there is a special blessing in store for those who love God. It says that all things, which is unbelievable, incredible, that all things work together for good to them who love God. Amen. Amen. So may that be your portion as you love the Lord. Amen. Number three. If you love the Lord, God will be with you in trouble and he will defend you in times of crisis. So, if you love God, it doesn't mean there will be no trouble. There will be trouble. If you love God, it doesn't mean there will be no crisis. But he says he will be with you in time of trouble. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 91 and verse 14, the Bible says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Amen. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Hallelujah. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. Now, notice verse 14. It says, because he has set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him and I will set him on high. So deliverance means that you are in trouble. You are in difficulty. But he didn't say that there will be no reason for you to need deliverance. There will be reasons. If you are part of this life, there will be reasons to need deliverance. It will happen. All right? Then he says, I will be with him in trouble. So again, when you are a novice, you will say that somebody is prophesying bad things to you. But it is because you are not experienced. If you are part of this world, you will have trouble. There is trouble and it is happening. It will happen and it's going to happen. But he says, I will be with him. Amen. In time of trouble. So God is promising that he will be with you. So whenever there's trouble in your life, look around and expect some kind of assistance and help in your time of trouble. Amen. Amen. But not that there will be no trouble. But trouble there will be. But he says, I will be with you in time of trouble. So those who feel that, you know, when you... That people are offended by anything negative. Yeah. They feel you are cursing them. They feel that you are saying bad things to them and so on. But I want you to know that if you read the Bible in all honesty, you will see not just good things being predicted. A lot of things that are predicted are evil. But God promises that he will help you in those times. Not that the time will not come. It will happen. It will come. But the difference for you and the difference for somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who loves the Lord, is that God will be with you. God will assist you when the trouble comes. Amen.
Amen.
So expect the help of the Lord. Number five, if you love the Lord and keep his commandments, he will show you great mercy.
Wow.
Mercy. Now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Expect mercy.
Amen.
When you love God. In verse 3, it says, thou shalt have no other gods. Verse 4 says, you shall not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am a jealous God, visiting iniquity upon the children, all right, to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Showing mercy to people who love me. All right? So your love becomes the reason for you to have mercy. And if you think you will not need mercy, you are new. You are a novice. And so God shows mercy to thousands of people who love him. So loving God is perhaps your most important pastime, to love God and to devote yourself to him. In the day that you need mercy, which you may not know how you may need mercy, in that day, all right, you will receive mercy because of your love. You know, that is why when a judge finds out that he knows somebody in the case, he's supposed to recuse himself. So one time we had a court case at the church, was some land, something, somebody, and there was a judge who knew us and had actually been a member of the church before. And so she just informed the panel that I know these people, and I've even been in the church before. So it will affect my way of thinking. Because loving somebody really affects your way of thinking. You will easily give a wrong judgment. Do you understand? Because of your love for a person. So when you see it's a bad person, but then your love will look at the person, and then you will change your mind. And you say that a bad person is a good person, when it's obvious that a bad person is a bad person. Everybody can see, and especially people who don't know the person even, or even don't like the person, or don't have any relationship with the person. They are so clear. So, oh, this is this. This. There's no question at all. But as soon as there is a relationship, as soon as there's some love, you see that your mind is twisted. Yes. So God is also not hiding that fact from us, that he shows mercy to them that love him. He's biased. Or biased. Yes. Yes. To those who love him. And that's a reality. Have you ever wondered why God showed mercy to David? When David sang, "One thing have I desired, to be in the house of the Lord, to behold your beauty." It's a somebody who calls you beautiful or says you are nice, how many people call God beautiful? Do you think he will not be touched? Even what the word he just chooses and says you are beautiful. You know, you'll be touched. Few of us would countenance a pastor who has gone to take somebody's wife, giving birth with her, and then killed the husband. I mean, that's exactly what David did. I mean, few people would accept something like that as normal. They wouldn't countenance it at all for just a minute. It's like, no, 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 no. And as soon as you hear the case, your mind is clear. But your mind is not clear when it's somebody you love.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. And God's mind was not clear like that to just kill David and throw him aside and push him somewhere and just burn him with fire for what he did. No. The Bible says that he shows mercy to thousands that love him. I'm explaining to you that loving God is a very important thing because it guarantees you some amount of mercy that another person may never get. Yes. So your love for God, in fact, your love generally is important because loving can guarantee the mind of the judge to be, I don't mean twisted or perverted, but affected. Yes, affected. Huh? Yes, it's affected by influence, by what has happened. All right? So love is a very, very important thing. The Bible says that God shows mercy to thousands that love him. Number 6. If you love the Lord, he will keep his covenant with you. No love, no covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now, what I want you to see is that God knows our personalities, our natures, and our love. And he uses that a lot to assess us and to choose us and to work with us. You would think that it's what you do, but it's the love you have. It's something God knows people. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that God knows us. He knows you, how you are. You know, when you read the Bible, you see the people that God uses and chooses. You just wonder why he's choosing them. But if you look at it over time, you will see some differences that give you some light. Take somebody like Moses. Moses couldn't speak, and Moses was a wanted murderer. Moses was wanted. His name was on posters. Wanted, $1,000 reward. Wanted, $1,000 reward for Moses. And he had run away. He ran away from town. Now everybody knew him. Years had gone by. And he was like somebody who was known and wanted. I'm sure a lot of people have even forgotten about the case. But he was a wanted murderer. Now, God leaves the Israelites, who are a lot of them in Goshen, and moves out to the wilderness to find Moses. And then appears to Moses. He's left all the other Israelites. Now, when he chooses Moses, Moses tells God that he is not qualified. Do you see? Like God says, and it becomes an argument between God and Moses about using him. God says, I'll use you. So, no, you can't use me. I'm not the type. And God says, I'll use you. So, no, you can't use me. Use another person. Until God actually got angry with Moses and said, okay, your brother is coming. Now, Moses was 3 years younger than Aaron. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses, you know. So here is an older person, and God told him he can speak. Moses, Aaron can speak and all that. But you see, God didn't want Aaron. God didn't want Aaron. No matter what Moses said and whatever, he didn't like Aaron. He wanted Moses. Why? Why wouldn't you want somebody who can speak, is God, is older, mature, everything? I said, I don't like Aaron. I like Moses. You know, God really knows us all. He knows people. And you see, when the opportunity came, when Moses went up, and there was a small meeting, people came, pressure, and so on. Aaron said, look, let's make a whatever and worship her. Let's make a cow. You know, and Aaron made a cow, a golden calf, a big golden calf, and let everybody worship. He was the priest for that golden calf. You know, you wouldn't get Moses to do something like that. He wouldn't yield to that sort of pressure. He wouldn't yield to rebellion. He would give the commandments of God. He would speak the curses. He would speak the blessings. Everything. Moses was a completely different kind of person. Yes. Aaron and his family and his sons, they were all some way. Yes. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they also died. And Moses told him the family shouldn't mourn. No crying. Yes. If you read Leviticus. You know, there are differences in people. And you just know with time, you get to understand why God wants people, likes certain people, chooses certain people, and decides to keep a covenant. So he's looking at you. Look at David and Saul. Saul was handsome, tall, everybody liked him. You know, but you know, God was just, that decision to give a king, it was from the pressure of the people. God told Samuel, do it for them. Do it. Choose any of these, what they like. He wouldn't get the character of David, which God seemed to note. That's what I'm telling you, that how much you love God is something God is looking at very closely. He's watching the love that you have for him. You think it's nothing. So if you love the Lord, it is true. It is true. God does deal with you according to your heart and according to how you really are. And all of us actually, we actually even deal with people according to that. If I perceive that you love me or I love you, it will affect the way I relate with you. If I don't perceive that, it will also affect the way I relate with you. They are all, it's real. So God apparently is almost like a man with us. And he's just looking at our things. Yes. So even David and Saul, you wonder why God still wanted David. And when you read all through 1st and 2nd Kings, those of you who did BK, if you come to our school, you probably have to do BK because we are back to O level. Our school is doing O level and A level in Ghana. That is in Ghana. Yeah. Totally. Now, if you did it, you will learn more about the kings, I think. First, the kings. If you, those who did BK. I didn't do BK, but if you did BK. Huh? No, not religious and moral. Yes, BK, Bible knowledge. Every single king had idols. David is one of the only kings who didn't have an idol. You see, the God said, this man is different. He's a murderer, he's this. I like him. And God's assessment of the person is different. Yeah. So may I want to encourage you. Now the Bible says that if you love God, he will keep covenant. What is covenant? Covenant is a promise he has made. Now, there are many promises in the word. And sometimes there are personal promises to you God makes to you. But if you think that God will never change his mind about the covenant that he has made with you, then you don't know. All of us change our minds. I said I'll do this, but I've changed my mind. And recently I've realized that I have to change my mind about certain things I've said. Yes. I said I'll do this. I said, but I've changed my mind. What's the use of a mind which cannot change? Yes. Because after I analyzed, I realized that it's a mistake. Yes. It's a mistake. And God, that's why he keeps on saying that he will keep covenant with you. What he has promised. There are a lot of things. Even us as human beings. I said I'll never do this or I'll be this or this. I realize that no, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. That's all. I've changed my mind. I said you were this, you were this, you were that, and you'll ever be this and that. So I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. What will you do? Because God changed his mind. He changed his mind. He was taking them out of Egypt. He changed his mind. I won't take you again. I said, I won't take you. That's all. Yes, I won't take you again. You'll die here. That's all. I'll take your children. Like you, I won't take you. I've changed my mind. You know, and you see, there are people in your life, if they change their minds, it will not be good. And one of the people who's, if he changes his mind, it will not be good, is God. If God changes his mind about you, you will not be happy. Yeah. And he says that for people who love him, he doesn't change his mind. Yes, he doesn't change his mind. If you think minds cannot change. You know, one day I was talking to a man who divorced his wife. He told me something. He said, look, if I was not afraid to divorce my wife, I would not be afraid to do this. That's why he told me. Yes. I changed my mind. Yes. If I was not afraid to change that one, then you should know that I would not be afraid to do this. Yes. Because a lot of people have fear to divorce. Yes. There's fear. So he was explaining that although that thing is fearful, he was not afraid to do that. So this other issue, he's telling me that based on that, I should know that this issue, he is also wild. He can also change his mind. So, well, I said, I've changed my mind. I said, I'll marry you again. I said, I loved you. I did this. I said, I won't do it again. That's all. What will you do? I said, I won't take you to Israel, Egypt, to Israel again. That's all. I've changed my mind. And I tell you, sometimes we need to change our minds about things. Yeah. So I'll do this. I'll do this. This and that. I promise this. I said this, this and whatever. It's good that you pray the promise. But at times, there are people who deserve, they need. And God himself is telling you that I'll keep covenant with those who love. You don't love me. I'll change my mind. Was it not based on love? And we found out that you don't love. He said, I will change my mind. I've changed my mind about everything. I should keep on loving. You know, one day I met a man, a white man, who were buying something from him. And I negotiated and negotiated. And he was not changing his mind. Then as I was leaving, I said, so will you not think about it? Then he said something that gave me great hope. I knew that he would reduce the price, at least by the next day. He said, what is the use of a mind if it cannot change? Wow. Yeah. What is the use of a mind if it cannot change? Yeah. God is telling you that his mind can change. He can say, I promise you, my son, I will be with you in time of trouble. I've changed my mind. I won't be with you in any trouble again. Be in the trouble with yourself. Because you don't love me. I said, I'll satisfy you with long life. I've changed my mind. I won't give you any long life again. I've changed my mind. I said, I'll bless you. I said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it. I've changed my mind. I won't give it. I won't give it anything that you ask for. I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. I say, I've changed my mind. What will you do? Yes. I said, what things soever you desire in my name, I said, I've changed my mind. I only give you things you need, not things you desire. I've changed my mind about it. I keep covenant with those who love me. You know, I've found great. I'm somebody who doesn't easily change his mind about things, especially if I promise. But in recent years, I've come to experience great liberation in having this ability, the ability to change my mind. So I've changed my mind about this. What I said it, but I've changed my mind. It suddenly set me free. I realized that God has not bound himself. The Israelites, they were happy in Egypt. Cucumbers, they were eating this. That. He said, I'm taking you to a land with milk and honey. On the way. He said, I've changed my mind. You see this desert here? Snakes will bite you. You all die here. I'll burn all of you here. He changed his mind halfway. Yes. In fact, he was about to take, he was going to kill everybody. It wasn't for Moses' prayer. Because he told Moses, I'll make you, and then you, Moses, I'll do, so you have to marry, give birth, and I will make you. I know how to make nations. I know how to make, I've done it already. I've done it before. I'll make you. And Moses talked. He said, look, the people will hear, they will speak about you and so on. Yes. So in Guinea, God changed from killing every one of them to killing the grown-ups above 20. Yes, he changed his mind. So I find myself in a season where I see myself changing my mind about many things. Yes. And I find that God shows me, you can change your mind. You can. Set yourself free and change your mind. Change my mind. God changed his mind. I've changed my mind too. When God sentenced Adam and Eve, he said, go out. He sort of changed his mind. When he let them out, he started to feel for them. You know, he started to feel for them. He's felt for us for a long time. We are in trouble. It's just too bad. Yeah, it's just too bad. So, if you love the Lord, expect him to keep covenant and not to change his mind. When your lover changes his mind, you are in big trouble. I said I'll do this, but I've changed. I've changed my mind. I've changed. For a good reason. Mercy. If you love the Lord, he will, number 7, give you the former rain and the latter rain, the corn, the oil, and the wine. That is prosperity. He will give you the latter rain and the former rain and the corn, the oil, and the wine. Deuteronomy 11 verse 13. Expect that. Now, and it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken diligently unto the commandments which I command you, Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in the corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Green grass is one of the blessings. If you have green grass in your house, it's an advanced blessing. One of the judgments in the book of Revelation, he sent an angel to destroy all the green grass. Yes. Now God is promising that he will give you a blessing, and that blessing is he's going to give you the early rain and the latter rain. Because in a normal season of life, there is an early prosperity and then there's a latter prosperity. My mother used to say, enjoy your 50s. Wow. Yes, she said that when you are in your 50s, a lot of needs are already met, and there's a certain level of prosperity that comes. It's also a dangerous era. Yes. That's the latter rain. Then there's an initial prosperity that can come. So I've got a good job. I work at Standard Nincompoop Bank. I don't know which bank it is. Do you know any such bank, please? Or I work at whatever. I've got a job at International Wealth Center of associations. Wow. It's like an initial burst of prosperity that seemed to start you onto life. That's the early rain. Then there's a latter rain where, you know, sometimes you heard of people giving huge amounts and big things to God. People can buy, there's somebody who can buy me a plane. Somebody can buy a plane or even give me a plane to just use. There are people like that, even in our church, if they will. And you've heard of people doing things and giving huge amounts and gifts and things to the ministry, to the work of God, or even to political parties. There are people who give $1 million, $2 million, $5 million to political parties. That's what they love. Yeah. So they're, if you think that people are counting 42 CDs, 20 pounds, $20, at a certain level, there are people that are not counting it in that way. No. You don't know. You don't know. But it is not like... There are people when they are buying roasted plantain, they don't struggle at all. They just pick or they say, bring everything. Yes. There are people who buy oranges that people sell on the head. They buy the whole thing. My father used to buy the whole. He always bought everything. I never saw him pick something. No. As I move with him, he buys everything. Like everything the person is selling, he has taken it and they bring it into the car. That's it for the day. You'll be there. He said, I'll give you the early rain and then the latter rain. Then he said, the corn and the oil and the wine. These three are the representatives of prosperity and all that you need. All right? You have it. You have corn. What is corn representing? Conflicts. It represents kinky. It represents banku. It represents pap. It represents ekwegbemi. Please give us some international things that corn eba. It represents eba. In Nigeria, it represents popcorn, sweet corn soup. What else does corn represent? Corn bread, corn flakes, corn flour is used for what? Stew, corn dough. Please come up with something international. I want some international person to send us a text. Somebody is saying Rice Krispies. Is it true? Chapati. India. What about India? What do they use corn for in India? Parotta. Chapati, naan bread, naan bread. It's wheat. Anything from wheat. Is that the corn? Roti, yes. So that this is almost like your base. Then it is also what is used to feed your cows and your animals. So, Cerelac. Yes, corn on the cob. Roasted corn, boiled corn. You'll never be hungry if God gives you corn. Receive your corn. It's for those who love Him. Amen. I will give you, unless you don't believe that God gives you food for your animals. My father's horses used to eat guinea corn. It was their favorite. It's a small corn. I've never seen it before. Yeah, small ones. It's called guinea corn. And he said, when you eat that, it makes you, your strength, huge. It makes your strength what? Huge. Yes. Balechi in Botswana. Kenya, what? Ugali. Kawunga in Rwanda. Yeah. In Shima in Zambia. Yes. Shima, yes, I remember in Shima. Santata. Saza. Paps. Pap. Pap in South Africa, isn't it? Namibia, what do you have? Pap. Yeah. So corn will make your strength what? Huge. Yes. Say it in your house. Corn will make your strength huge. So God is making you very strong. Yes. Eyes kinky. Gives breast milk. Okay. It's going to make your strength what? Huge. Then it's going to give you corn and then oil. Oil. Every cooking thing that is nice needs oil. Is it not true? What do you use oil for? Fried rice. Fried plantain. Stew. Meat. Chicken. Fried chicken. Fried eggs. Fried pork. Kelly-willy. Kelly-willy. Palm nut soup. Curry. Curry. Butter chicken. Fried potato. Chips. All the hamburgers you eat, they are all fried with oil. Deep fried. Fish. Fish and chips. Spring rolls. Samosas. With oil. God is supplying you many nice things. Oil will make your strength huge. And then wine. Yes. Wine is luxury. Your luxuries. It represents your luxuries. And the little element that changes the flair and the flavor of your life. Kashatobalaba. Yes. Wine. Corn and oil and wine. Your whole life is flavored now. Your whole life is changed. And this promise and blessing comes to Deuteronomy 11 verse 13. It says that if you hearken to love the Lord, then he will give you the rain, the early boost of life. How many want an early boost in life? And then he will give you a latter boost in your life. Wow. That early boost will help you to marry and to like initial. It's like you are getting into life. Suddenly it seems like, you know, you've been able to move into a certain level. That's the early rain. I'm talking of financial things now. Yes. Even to get a wife, to get a husband, it's an early boost. Yes. But there comes also a latter realm of prosperity, higher than it was at the early one. Oh, yes. I remember things that I, when I had a beloved and when I married, you know, in the early rain, I considered myself very prosperous because I had married, I had a car, a Renault 4. My mother bought me a fridge, a new fridge. Can you believe it? It was a very special thing for me, that fridge. I wish even I can picture opening it. It was a special occasion to open that fridge and close it. After I got married, that's what I had. Yes. I didn't have chairs, but then eventually we got chairs. But we were using the chairs in the hotel that we were living in. But it was a blessing. When I got those chairs, it was a special set of chairs. I remember that I can see them now in my eyes. This was my initial prosperity. I didn't have a television. I had an old one which you need to hit and then it comes on. Have you had one like that before? Yes. I don't know why they need you to hit it before it comes on. Yes. We lived in one room. Room divided by little spaces. One room. For 3 years, we were there, happy. To me, I have entered, an early rain of blessing on my life at that time. Glory to God. Yes. Then you go on, life goes on, then comes a latter rain, where those things that were seem a lot at the early rain, you can even give them away as gifts. Wow. Yes. Receive the latter. You see, some of you get the early rain, but the latter rain doesn't come. So apart from the initial step forward, there is no getting into a certain realm in your life. But God is saying that for those that love me, I'll give them the early rain and I'll give them a latter rain. I'll give them corn to make your strength huge. I'll give them oil to make your strength huge. And I'll give them wine to give a certain flavor to their lives, that your life becomes a little delicate and a little distinguished and a little extraordinary. Something to add some flavor to who you are. Receive it in the name of Jesus. If you love the Lord, amen. Wow. Number 8. If you love the Lord, you will experience his tests of love. When you love somebody, when you love God, you must know that you're going to be tested along the way. You know, occasionally something to say, to see whether you really love still. Is that not so? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, it says, if there rise among you a prophet. So these are things, people that they are like that. You'll be there and suddenly somebody's head is popping up, coming up with things. A prophet or a dreamer of dreams. And he gives you a sign or a wonder. A sign or a wonder is that he does something or says something that makes you wonder. And he does something or says something that makes you think. Do you see? Yes, think twice. People say things, doesn't make you think. But some people say things, makes you think twice. And the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So now, it makes you think, and what he's saying is trying to change your mind, to go after another god, to change your mind about serving God. And he's come with a sign and a wonder. And it looks true because of the sign and the wonder. But he's telling you, let's go this way. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. No. Or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you. It's a test. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So you see that where people come to take you away, try to divert your mind, do you understand, with signs and with things that look convincing, with even good signs. The Bible says it's actually a test of whether you love the Lord or not. And that's why sometimes you even wonder why God allows people to talk by heart. Or to say whatever they will say, or to preach anything, or to... Why does even God allow false prophets, false preachers, false messengers to exist? Why does he even allow these things to go on? The Bible says, the Lord your God proveth you to see whether it's God you love. Yes. Because what you follow shows what you love. Yes. What you follow shows what you love at the end of the day. The fact that certain things are able to convince you and win you over. God is saying that I was just proving you. That's why I allowed him to come with a dream, with signs and wonders. I was proving you. And you fell flat on your face. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love him or you don't love him. So, being your love for God being tested. Now, if you think you are going to sit secure, Satan is going to allow you to just sail smoothly from now to heaven, then I don't think you know what you are dealing with. It's not going to be that You see, and I'm not predicting something bad for you, but I'm telling you that people coming to you and trying to convince you is part of your tests of love. Wow. Yes. If you love somebody and a man comes to you and starts rapping you, meanwhile you have whom you love already or whom you claim you love, and you listen to that man who tells you do this and do this and you do all the things he says, it is a test of your love, and you have failed the test if you follow it. Oh, it's a test of your love, and you failed badly. Every time you listen to someone who comes with a sign and a wonder, it's an indication that you have failed in your test of love. Who you claim you love, the other prophet who has come with a dream, with a sign, convincing sign, I said that you will not follow him. Why? Because the Lord is proving you. Am I reading the Bible with you? Put it up there. It says, because the Lord your God proveth you. He was testing you. It was all a test. That's why God allows the false. He allows the false and the good all to exist to see what you are made of. Now you fail. Bah, you fail. You fail again. You fail again. You fail. How many times have you failed? And you keep proving that you don't love who you claim you love. All right? Are you still around?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Love is something that God, if you love the Lord, it's beautiful, but it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. If a man says he loves a woman, it's going to be tested, because there's going to be 1,000 beautiful people who come with all kind of charm. But all you have to do is to reimagine them in another context. Yes, the same person who is looking so sweet and whatever, imagine that person in the way they behave when they are married.
Okay.
Yes, then you realize that, oh, your smile and your whatever is just a complete deception. I'm not interested in you at all. So your ability to stay faithful is just a simple test, but as for convincing people with signs and wonders and speakings and writings and what have you, they exist, and God allows them just to test you, my dear, just to test you. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. Wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love. Again, loving God will involve proofs. Proofs of your love. Amen.
Amen.
Proofs of your love. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. If you love the Lord, God is going to add cities to your life. It's going to increase your realm of authority. Amen. It's going to increase your realm of authority. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. If you shall keep these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add 3 cities more for thee, besides these 3. So God was telling them that I'm going to give you more that is going to be under your control. You know, authority is something you cannot conjure up. You see, the way you have power over this, power over this, power to command this one come, this one go, this one stand here, this one do this, the way you command it, do you understand? It's not something you can conjure up. And God is saying here that as you follow me and love me, amen, I give you more and more authority.
Amen.
Yes. Today I have authority over many places and people and cities, if you like. Yes. I can send people to other countries. It's an authority. I can call people to come. I can call 100 people to come from a country now and they will come. If the air flights will come, of course. It's true. So your authority, you see, God, you, if you take a husband and a wife, people assume that the wife is the second in authority in the house. So if the husband is not there, they will say, the wife is there. The what?
The wife.
The wife. It's a position. They say, the wife is there. It's like the one that he claims to love or the one who claims to love him is the one who has been given the second place of authority. Wow. But the servants are not given that authority. They don't say, this person is there. So the wife is there. Are you watching? Beautiful. Number 10. If you love the Lord, you will have life and length of days. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record against you. Amen. That I've set before you life and death. Choose life that you may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest live. So choose life. Amen. Love him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Now, the life and the length of your days is connected to your love for God. Yes, it's true. Life is a mysterious thing. Coronavirus has even showed us how mysterious it is. People have the virus. One person has it. The other people don't have it. And you even wonder, what's the basis for all these things? You get it? Yes. So, I remember one time my father was sick. And he was admitted in the hospital. And everybody, you know, in the hospital where he was critically ill, because he was critically ill. He was so critically ill that any moment he was expected to die. So eventually he didn't die. And then he came back home to Ghana. He was not in Ghana. So when he came back, I remember one day he was describing it. He said, look, we were in the ward. This one will die and he'll be there. This other one will die. And I'm a doctor, so I knew what when we described and the medicine that he was on, it was like they were expecting him to pop off at any time. He didn't die. And this one will die. This one will die. This one. He was just sitting there. And he came back to Ghana and came to do his things normally before he died later. So the strength of life and death is quite mysterious. Yes. So the Bible is giving us a connection between loving God and strength of life in your life. So loving God is connected to life. May you live and outlive your enemies. Amen. May you live and outlive your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still with me?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Your very life is connected. Amen. Then your multiplication, growth, is connected to your loving God. He says, if you live, he says, if you love the Lord, that you may live and multiply. Live and what? Multiply. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. Verse 16. It says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, that thou mayest live and multiply. So loving God is connected to your multiplication and your increase and your growth. Yes. So loving God is a big thing. If you love the Lord, you are going to experience growing. Look at it. It says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. That is, see, to love the Lord is the first sentence. Why? That what? That thou mayest live and multiply. So that you will live and multiply. Do you want to live and multiply? It's one of the blessings that is great in the earth. A person who can live and multiply. You see your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You will be blessed in the house of God. Look at Job. Turn with me to Job quickly. Just aside something. Job. The last chapter. Chapter 42. Wow. Receive this blessing. Job chapter 42 and verse 16. And after this, Job lived, that is after his crisis. After his crisis. You'll be doing well after your crisis. Amen. He lived 140 years. 140 years. And saw his sons and his sons' sons after his crisis, even four generations. Receive such an ability in the name of Jesus. He saw his sons, and he saw his sons, sons, his sons, 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 and his sons, 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 to the fourth generation. That's Job. That's what he experienced. Because he after his crisis, after your crisis, you do better.
Amen.
Amen. After your crisis, you do better. Yes. What a blessing. Back to our teaching on if you love the Lord. We are getting to the end now. Now, if you love the Lord, you will marry the Lord. You do what? You marry him. Amen. Wow. Now, unfortunately, I'll not be able to so easily explain it to you because all of us have our own versions of marriage. Do you see? Of what we imagine. It's first of all what we imagine and what you do.
Okay.
And what you think and what you experience. So, depending on what you know and what you experience, you can easily know what. But it says in Isaiah 54 verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen.
Amen.
For verse 6, for the Lord thy God calleth thee as a woman forsaken. And grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. Hallelujah. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. God is saying that he's your husband, your maker is your... We don't only say your maker is your husband when the person is a widow. You know, when a person is a widow, I remember one person was telling a widow, he said, the government will be your husband. And the government will ensure that your children are taken care of. There is nothing will ever, you will not be in need. This is, I mean, not Ghana. Don't think of Ghana. It is another nation. The person was now comforting someone who had died on behalf of the nation as a spy. The person who died as a spy. And was saying, the government will be your husband. Madam, the government will look after your children. Wow. So you see, this is what we say to widows. You know, that, oh, you should be your husband and a father to the fatherless and all that. But what God is saying is that without widowhood, he wants to be your husband.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you know how to marry, you know how to love God. And sadly, a lot of people don't know how to marry. They have their own idea and their own version of what is marriage. True or not true? Yes. People are very different. You know, I've worked with different people. Everybody behaves differently. When you see that, you see how everybody behaves. This one behaves like this, one behaves like this, one behaves like this. And you realize that if it's office, they will behave like this. If they were married, they will behave like this. If it was work, if it's sports, everything, this is how they behave. Everybody is different with what he thinks and what you think is right. Are you there?
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body. Therefore, as the Christ is subject the church is subject to Christ. Let the wives be in the to their own husband. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Okay, he's now talking about the church. That he might present in a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, some of you, if you are married to the Lord, you will say he's too melancholic, he's too demanding. Spots, wrinkles, every small thing, he's complaining about it. He wants to clear every spot, every wrinkle. What type of melancholism is this? We are not happy in the house. If the Lord was your husband, you would be complaining all the time. Yes. Like he is saying that he doesn't want spots, he doesn't want wrinkles in his marriage. So ought men ought to love their husbands as their own wives. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Alright? For we are members of his body. Now, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So marriage is a revelation of God and us. Yes. Every lesson you learn in marriage is a revelation of you and God. Yes. So the so-called love that we seem to have, you know, you will learn, if your eyes are open, your spirit is open, you will learn everything about your relationship with God by marriage, your marriage, other people's marriages, and other things you know about. Everything about it. Yes. You learn, you see your relationship with God. That is it. True. I know you want me to say more. And you want me to talk, but I don't feel like talking. I'm not going to talk. Yeah. You'll find out for yourself what it's like. But everything, good, bad, ugly, is a typical example of how we relate with God. Good, bad, ugly. If you wait on him, if you are tender, if you are kind, if you are like this, if you are sexual, if you have feelings, if you are unfaithful, everything, if you are faithful, everything is like how we are with God. We are his wives. And he is our husband. Both the males and females, we are all his wife. Because you see, the marriage is actually just a mystical revelation of our relationship with God. It's true. Yeah. It's just, I speak to you, it's a great mystery. Yeah. It's a great mystery of our relationship with God. And that's how we are. You know? We those of us, the men who are not faithful, it's just like most of us, pastors, Christians, God is there, but we keep on going to smell other things. We want this, we want this, we want to be in Tokyo. We want to be in Cairo. We don't want to be where God wants you to be. You want to be in Tokyo, you want to be in Cairo. You want to be in Toronto? You want to be in Vancouver? You want to be here? You want to be there? You want to have this? You want to do this? You are never content with what God has given you. If you are a woman unfaithful, it's you don't, the one who has done so much for you, who has given everything to have you, your unfaithfulness is so ugly. It's so ugly. And that's how ugly we are to God. It's like he's done everything for us. And we wouldn't do it. Just a small, he says, you know, go to the world, preach the gospel. I'll give you cars, house, I'll give you everything. Just, you know, these are what small, I like this. No. Go after some other thing, other gods. You know, our love for God, our relationship. Some of us in our marriages, we are like statues. There's no sound that comes from you. Yes. You might as well not even be married. Yes. You might as well even choose to marry your phone. Why don't you do marriage vows with your phone? If you've not thought of doing some marriage vows, you can do a Zoom wedding with your phone. Yes. You are so committed to it. People have no time for God. It's like you have time for 1,000 other things. Yes. You don't talk to God. You talk to others. That's why people are surprised we have a prayer meeting is lasting 6 hours and 7 hours. Meanwhile, you can talk on your phone all night long. I remember one guy, he died, you know, he died in his room. And the police were trying to find out when he died. They were trying to see if it was a murder. You know, so then the girlfriend was talking to him. And she said, I hung up at 5, like all night. I hung up at 5 and he died. So they gave the estimated time to die 6. Because the chatting, the relating, the rapping, the talk, love you. So hello. Till 5. He said, God, pray from the night until 5 a.m. Yeah. Till 5. On the phone like that. One day your eye will fall onto the phone. Your two eyes, they will fall like marbles. And they will start bouncing on the phone. Pom, 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 pom. And you play table tennis with your eyes. Hey! So if you love the Lord, it's like marriage. Anything you do and you are in marriage is a mystical revelation. So, of course, the marriages are bad examples of how to relate with God because the marriage is not good. Apart from IMCs, we have poor quality marriage, PQMs. Yes. You know what an IMC is? An IMC is an ill-married couple. Like, they shouldn't have married in the first place. It was a bad decision. They are not well-matched. They are not well. They are good people. Ill-matched good people. The matching wasn't good. But they are good people. But it's a wrong match. It's a wrong match. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. It's a wrong match. I mean, are you listening?
Yes.
It's just a wrong match. But if it's not an IMC, it's a PQM. It's a marriage, but it's a poor quality. Everything is poor in the marriage. Company, relationship, communication, sex, food, happiness. Love, joy, laughter, poor, poor, poor. Oh! PQMs. Yes. Are you there? Yeah. Number 14. If you love the Lord, you are better than 7 other children. Wow. Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than 7 sons that have borne him. A person who loves you is better than 7 others who don't love you. The one who loves you has transcended the biological ones. Just love has changed your ranking, your value. You are more than 7 people who, 7 other sons which have given birth to. Just one in-law who loves you is better. Amazing. You know, love is the highest quality. God is love. God is love. Just one person who loves you. Ruth, they were telling Ruth, look, this is your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who has shown her love. She proved it. We are not talking of unproved love. This type of love, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, without proof. Or I love you with proof of the opposite. We are talking of love. The woman has, he said, look, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. That's what Ruth told Naomi. She proved it when her husband died and she had no... Naomi said, I don't have any more husbands in my womb to give. She said, yes, I will be with you, my mother. You know, I will stay with you. I will die with you. Oh. The people, they advised, they said, look, that girl is more than seven boys. If you give birth to seven sons, that girl, just because she loves you, it's better. It's better. Take it that way. So when God looks at all of us who claim we serve him, some say you're in full-time ministry, you say you are a member of this church, member of that church, you are a member of what, a member of what. If we get one of us who loves him, it's more than seven other members or so-called Christians. If you just get one person, one lover. Not about pa-pa love, oh. Pa-pa love. Love makes your strength what? Huge. Yes. Look at it. I didn't write the Bible. It's if you get to that one, you see that she loves you. She has proved her love. It's better than seven of all these seven boys. Don't worry at all. Don't worry at all. They were comforting her. Don't worry. This one is better. So when God comes to the whole, I wonder if he comes through this little studio, he will find one worthy. But if he finds one, he'll say that this my boy is better. Eh? I like this my boy. That's why you see his mind changes when you are in trouble. Because that's why he shows mercy to them that love him. So, although they should some judgment, it's like his hand is shaking when it comes to you. That's love. Love is a wild thing. Oh. Those of you who have trifled with love or trifled with a lover. Trifle with somebody who loves you is a very rare thing. That's why if you get, that's if you get. You know, one time I was asking an old man about somebody, you know, whether the person should marry or he said to me, if you get somebody, that's a point. If you get, when an older person loses a wife. If he wants to marry, usually the wife may not want to marry him, but these days you can't tell. So if they get, they lose. The problem is not whether there are beautiful girls or there is 1,000 people. It's if you get somebody who loves you. I'm not getting somebody who is looking for somebody to pay school fees or somebody to provide sperms for a child. You'll get plenty. But if you get somebody who loves you, that's if you will get. That's what the old man told me. He said, if you will get. And it's not easy to get. You see how I love you? I preach to you, I talk to you. It's not easy to get me. Yes. You will not easily get it. I don't want to lie to you. You wouldn't easily get somebody who loves you. As for people, they are. And that's what Ruth told. They told Ruth. They said, look, calm down. Your daughter-in-law is better than seven boys. Calm down. It's better. So when God looks at us from heaven, he's just wondering about us. Oh, can I get one person? You know, just doing something for a salary. Or somebody just talking words. Or singing songs. But really, the person loves. That's how he chooses. By the way, God, yeah, he sees us like X-ray. We're just standing there saying this. He just looks at us, marveling. He just marvels. Beautiful. Are you still with me? Yes. Wonderful. If you love the Lord, you will shine like the sun. Judges chapter 5. This number 15 or 16. Any number, you choose your numbers. In our church, we choose our own numbers. All right? Judges chapter 5 and verse 31. Beautiful. So let all thy enemies perish, O Lord. But let him that love him. Let him that love him Be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Amen. O Lord, let the one that loves him be as the sun when he goes in his full might. When you love the Lord, you'll be like the sun in his strength. You are unbeatable. There's nothing like the sun. You know, you can't even look at the sun with your eyes. Don't ever try it. There are days when the sun decides to burn us. It's not a small thing. Have you seen it before? It's like it comes in its full strength. So we now see that, yes, we are feeling hot. We are feeling what? Hot. The strength of the sun is what? Huge. It's huge. The sun is a mighty force. It must be very, very, very powerful. It's like hundreds and thousands of nuclear bombs. When a nuclear bomb, one of the normal size nuclear bombs blows, it wipes out everybody within 3 to 8 kilometers from the bomb. So for if it is Accra, if it was to be bombed, it was to be bombed at Tete Kwashi, you need 8 kilometers to the sea. I think you'll be in the sea by then. Everything, the whole of Accra will be wiped out. Nobody left alive. And the sun has got thousands of nuclear bombs that are exploding so much that the power is causing wind on earth. That wind is seen in the north, at the North Pole. Yes. It's so strong. You know, you see how when the kettle boils, it causes the steam to go out. Yes, that's how the sun is. So it's causing wind to blow from the sun to the earth. And you see that wind, the aurora borealis, you see it in the North Pole. It's like waves like that. They used to think it was angels dancing. Yes, maybe. But they used to think it was angels dancing. But the sun in its full strength. Such a small thing. Yeah. Not a small thing. And God is saying that let him that loves God be like the sun in his full strength. You'll be very strong. Your strength will be what? Huge. Huge. Amen. And finally, in John 14, verse 21, if you love the Lord, you will experience manifestations in his presence. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments, all right, and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Amen. And verse 23. John 14 verse 23. It says, Jesus answered, if a man loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him. We will come to him. And we will make our abode with him. God lovers, when you are near a God lover, you experience a certain aura. A certain aurora. You are not sure whether it's love of the person or something supernatural. But it's the presence of God, because a person who loves God, right, has a presence that a person who doesn't have a certain love for God doesn't have. There's a presence around a God lover. You would think that if the person is kind, it's not kindness. You would think that the person is loving or the person is powerful. But it's the presence of God around the person. That's what you feel when you come near somebody who loves God. So loving God is a very special thing. Expect manifestations as you love God. Manifestations. There will be events that will happen in your life. December 22nd happened to me. One of the years. I don't remember the exact year, but one of these years. He said, I was there when I was parked peacefully by the traffic light. And then I looked behind me. And there was a tipper truck coming at top speed. And I thought to myself, I'm dreaming. But I was not dreaming. Are you watching? Yeah. And there, I saw this truck coming to take me away in December. Huh? He was coming to take me where?
Away.
Just before Christmas. But the Lord delivered me. The man turned off. And there was a man standing next to the car. There was an island between my car. I couldn't move. There was a car on my right. There was a car in front. There was an island. I couldn't go to the other lane because it was three lanes here. And I was right at the traffic light. And in this car, it was a yellow tipper truck, the big time. It was coming like out of control. And it was just coming to climb over me and go. And I saw it coming. Can you imagine? You still look in the mirror. And I saw the car coming, top speed. It couldn't brake. And suddenly, there was a man standing in the middle of the, between the cars going this way and the cars coming this way. And the driver chose to drive over the man than to hit my car. Yeah. He said, I'll give men for thee. So I looked to my side and I saw the truck climb the island and drive over the man and drive to the other side and somersault and fall on the side. Just about 3 days before Christmas. Now, a couple of years later, I met a policeman. But as soon as that happened, the light turned green and the cars moved, so I also moved. So I didn't wait to see what was happening. I was shaking like a leaf. But a couple of years later, I met a policeman who was in charge of that area, the head of the police. And I asked him that there was an accident. He said, yeah, he remembered. I described it. He said, yes, he remembered. And he said there was a man who came and said that the truck drove over him. But nobody believed because nothing happened to him. Nobody believed. He said, this man was very insistent that the tipper truck drove over him. But nothing happened to him. So anyway. Are you there? Isaiah 43, receive it, verse 2. Amen. And verse 4, it says, since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. It says, my father and I will love you, and therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Huh? I'll do what? I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. If there is a number of people that must die, maybe 42, and your name is in the list, may your name be taken out of the list and replaced with another name. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. Amen. He says, I will give men for thee. Hallelujah. Stalin used to have lists of people that he was going to kill. And he used to edit the list personally. This one in, this one out, this one out. Whatever list your name is on to die, you shall live in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, all these things will come to pass practically in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let us pray. Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We bless your name. We give you praise. Lift your hand to God and just tell God, I promise to love you. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you for this opportunity. You bless me now. You touch my life. I will serve you. I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Mando kabarandala, shando makadasta. humbly claramanda taramonde endemende de venede handale go de levedede heramanda lada heromonda da ederemande de endoromonda levedede e paramanda levedede de hemboromonda levedede de venede e mandola mandere de venede de hemora mandare de venede de hando korakada la kadikole de venede Father, we commit ourselves into your hand and we ask you to bless us with a love for you. Touch our hearts that we may love you and we may like you and we may follow you. We thank you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you right now. I want to give your heart to God. I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, maybe somebody asks you to watch. God is alive. God is real. And he wants you to love him and know him. If you want to love God and you want to know God and you want to be saved, pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. Please write my name in the book of life. I give my heart. I give my soul. I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Cleanse me, Lord, from all my sins and my wickedness. From today, I am born again and I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. If you gave your life to Jesus in this simple prayer, text us on the number on your screen. Just send a WhatsApp or a text to the number on your screen. It goes everywhere. Every country can text. And if you are in a country, we will help you with wherever you are. What a blessing. Amen. It's time to receive our Holy Communion. So in your houses, get your Holy Communion. And let us take our Holy Communion. And we are going to receive the body, the blood of Jesus Christ at this time. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. Will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh, I will pass over you. Yeah. When I see the blood, oh, yeah, I will pass over.
For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seared the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Father, we come before you with the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. We pray and sanctify the bread as we present it. We declare, Father, which art in heaven, that this is now the body of Jesus Christ. As we feed, we receive healing because of the cross and the broken body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Bless us and touch every life, everyone who is part of this. You said in your word, when the Lord passed through to smite the Egyptians and he sees the blood on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Let this be the portion of everyone that partakes of this amazing meal, the meal of healing, the meal of life. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. The body of Jesus Christ. And now take the drink that you have, the wine. It said, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Right now, we lift up the blood. Whatever wickedness is out there to kill, to steal and to destroy. When I see the blood, I will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to destroy. Father, as we receive the blood, we pray over this drink and we say it is now the blood of Jesus. Let no darkness, no sadness, no horror, no wickedness come into our houses. In the name of Jesus, we receive your divine protection, divine healing for every family that is part of this great communion. Holy power in the Holy Communion. We receive the blood of Jesus and we thank you, Almighty God. The blood of Jesus, may it wash away all your sins, your crimes, your mistakes, and your errors, and every slip that you have made on the way to where we are. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hand in your house. May you be blessed. It said you shall take out a lamb according to your families. May your family be blessed. And you shall kill the Passover. May every bad thing that is passing pass over you. Receive divine escapes from curses, from punishments. When the punishment of pride comes, may you escape that punishment of the pride. Whatever has made you proud, so big and so proud that you don't even notice it, when the punisher comes, because of this Holy Communion, may you escape the judgment of a proud person. As Egypt was destroyed, may you not be destroyed. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Now I pray for healing. every disease, every corona infection, every difficulty in breathing, every curse, every pandemic and danger, that Shango Sanga Tambo Kanakala Basopara, it will not come nigh our dwelling place. In the name of Jesus Christ, there shall be no bad news. There shall be no sad news. There shall be no tragic news. There shall be no evil phone call. There shall be no wicked WhatsApp message. There shall be no news flash that shakes our lives and causes us to tremble and to shake. In the name of Jesus, receive divine protection and covering. It's impossible for you to die in this pandemic. You are declared an escapee, a living testimony and a living witness of the protective power of the Holy Spirit and of the blood of the Lamb that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel speaks of death, wrongful, premature death. But the blood of Jesus grants you escape from premature death. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May you not suffer loss. May you not suffer wickedness because of the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.